May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. This past week, on Wednesday, I had another first in my life as a clergy person, very brief as it has been, but it was a first that was significant. I got to lead children's preschool chapel for the first time. I'd never done it before. And as the children walked into the chapel right back here, as they sat down in neat rows, or rather as the teachers helped them sit down in neat rows, as they clasped their hands together in prayer, as they listened attentively and sang joyfully, as they lit the candles on the altar very seriously, I thought about the great gift that was to be able to see people hearing these stories that we share for the first time. You see, I'm not sure if a lot of the children there had heard stories from Scripture. It might be the first time they're ever hearing them. And there was a first time for me, but I don't remember what that was like. And so I sat there and I wondered what it would be like to hear about the God who created the world, the sun, the moon, and stars for the first time. About the God who made the fish in the sea and the birds in the air and the animals that walk on earth. And the God who created humankind to be faithful stewards of that creation. The God who created in abundance and called everything that God had made good, oh, so very, very good. Now, when I look at that account of creation, when I think of the wonder of thinking of the world God created in abundance, and I compare it to the world I encounter in the gospel today, a world of seeming scarcity, of being wily with resources, I'm taken aback a little bit. There's a marked contrast between the faithful stewards of creation, the intended purpose for humankind, and the dishonest manager we meet in our story today. There is a world created with the purpose of every one of God's creatures having enough, and there is the world of the dishonest manager where he is watching out for himself. What does this gospel text have to tell us about God's economy? We're talking about wealth here. We're talking about how God manages resources. Now, economy is an interesting word. It has Greek roots. It's actually two different words put together. The first is oikos, which means home or house. The second is nomos, which means law or rule. It literally means the rules of the house, economy. This is how this house works. This is how exchanges take place. And there are multiple interpretations of this text. None of them are really all that satisfying to me. It's a weird parable. I didn't know what to make of it. But one that stood out as I was reading into it is taking into account the context in the ancient world where people owed money to any person who lent them money. The interest was already added in on the bill of sale or the bond that they paid. So it could be that this manager was cutting out his commission from the amount that that person owed, cutting out the interest from the amount that that person owed to that master. It could be that this manager, in looking out for himself, was actually doing justice to the people who had borrowed money. You see, you weren't supposed to lend at interest according to the Torah. You weren't supposed to lend at interest according to Jewish law. it doesn't seem as though people who hand out student loans or mortgage loans or even Alexander Hamilton, the founder of the Federal Reserve, really paid attention to that part of the Old Testament in crafting the laws about lending. But that was a part of the Jewish context in which this text lives. So maybe, just maybe, the point is not that this dishonest manager is cheating the master out of gain, but that he is inadvertently relieving an unjust burden from those who may have been tied down by crippling debt by looking out for himself. Any way you slice this text, when we compare it to the whole gospel in which it lives, the lesson may have less to do with the manager's sly moves with money than with the contrast of this story in relation to God's kingdom, God's economy. If even dishonest people in the world find ways to provide for themselves and relieve unjust burdens on others, how much more ought we to do so if we follow after a God of abundance? If a dishonest manager manages to be resourceful with the little influence he has, how much more ought we to trust the God who promises to provide for us? After all, this is the same God that shows up elsewhere in this very gospel. In the words of Jesus' mother, Mary, "My soul magnifies the Lord," she says, "and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has looked with favor on his lowly servant. He has shown strength with his arm and has scattered the proud in their conceit, casting down the mighty from their thrones, lifting up the lowly." This is the same God who tells a story about a prodigal son who squanders it all he has he been given, and is welcomed back into the fold. This is the same God who rejoices when the one sheep that was lost is found. At the offertory, most weeks, depending on the service that you attend, one of the lines that the priest may say as he or she receives the gifts from the congregation is, "All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee." Maybe the point is not so much that we get to do this gift thing with our own wealth, but that it is out of God's bounty that we give in the first place. This is the God who creates the world and calls it good, the God who redeems and restores it, the God whose greatest hope is that we would not treat God's resources as mere objects to meet our own wants at the expense of others, but a means to enjoy the truly great gifts of life and life everlasting, reconciled relationship with God and reconciled relationship with one another. This is more of a call and response, this giving thing we do. God gives and we respond in kind, not to a stingy master who has given us just the bare minimum, but to a God who is loving, living, and liberating, who wants all of God's people to thrive. The question for us, then, is will we have the eyes to look at this world's economy anew with the eyes of preschoolers, to understand the God who has provided enough and who calls us to see the world in that light? May we have the grace to do so. Amen.